once again. Good morning, church.
Morning to you, Teddy.
Been a very interesting month, last month. And as Pastor Mark was saying, 3 weeks I spent at the VA hospital in a special program for chronic pain management. And this program is to help teach veterans that are suffering from chronic pain some different ways to deal with the pain, some different treatments, physical exercises, diet, actually some electronics that they use also. They call it the TIMS machine that they use that helps block out pain for a certain amount of time. But above all, is also some relaxing techniques, things like this, things that help divert your mind from pain. Chronic pain is a science that is a condition that the science is still trying to find ways to deal with. In the past, they tried using drugs and found out that the veterans and other guys that they just prescribed these drugs to them, they had some pretty bad side effects. Some of the opiate drugs and so forth they can get addicted to, and some of the other drugs can have some bad side effects when it comes to affecting liver or kidneys or different parts of the body. But thank God the medicines that they have me on are not opiates. They can affect your stomach and your kidneys and so forth. But it was an incredible trip. And a couple things that were very important in the pain management program. The first Sunday night that I was there, when I checked in, my doctor came by about 7 o'clock that night. Now, this doctor is the head of the whole program for the hospital. And he came up to me, to my room, and he talked to me and everything. He wasn't doing a physical exam. That was already, all that stuff had been done. He was just coming to welcome me and kind of let me know what expectations that they had and just to meet me and so forth. And he turned around to walk out of my room, and then he stopped. And he turned around and says, "I don't know how you're going to take this, but the Lord told me to say this to you. God has spoken here." And a big smile came over my face. Mm-hmm. I said, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, that is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful." And I said, "I take it, doctor, you're a Christian." He says, "Yes, I am." And I said, "I am too." And so we started talking, and he found out that I was a pastor. And he said, "There is a reason God told me to say this to you." He says, "Here at this facility, under my direction, God has spoken here." Mm-hmm. So I don't care what the VA says, that's a government entity and so forth. I'm the head doctor.
Praise the Lord.
And Jesus is the head of me.
Amen. Amen.
And right away I knew I was in good care. I was in good hands. And I started that first night, I started reading the Bible and thinking about what was going on the next day, and it came to me, and I wrote this down, and I started a little journal while I was there, the things that the Lord was showing me. And before I start on my sermon, I wanted to share one of the things that was so important that came to me. And it said, the Lord told me, he says, "A happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healings, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." Proverbs 17:22. It's in the Amplified Bible. Then the Lord showed me this. He says, "To be cheerful is to be ready to greet others with a welcome, a word of encouragement, and enthusiasm for the task at hand, and a positive outlook on the future. Such people are welcome as pain-relieving medicine." Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Lord gave me an opportunity for those 3 weeks, not only to help heal my body, to help heal the way that my body treats and reacts to pain, but also to give me a longer day where I can walk longer without the braces, a day where I can manage the pain even greater and better attitude with it. But he also gave me an opportunity to share the word with my other fellow veterans there. And through them, be able to talk to them. I met veterans from all over the country. They come to this facility. It's the top facility in the country for the VA when it comes to chronic pain management. So I was able to meet guys from Texas, from Ohio, from Tennessee, from Montana, from Dakota, all over the place that these guys would come. We probably had about, in the total group, there's probably about 15 to 20 guys and ladies. And we had a wonderful time teasing each other as we veterans do. And, of course, if anything went bad or I goofed up, it was always, well, he's Air Force. What do you expect? You know, we had Marines. We had the other branches of the service. But I came up with a good reply to them. And they asked me the question, well, why did you choose the Air Force? And I said, well, I scored high enough on my test that I could have a choice. And I pretty well shut them up. So, but we made some good friends. And we made some, and I was able to pass my cards out and talk to them and talk about the Lord with some of them. And the day that we left, the final Friday, I stayed to have lunch with everybody. And I was just going to get up and say a prayer for everybody. And I was just getting ready to ask permission. I said, gentlemen, we're in our little lunchroom there. I said, I'm going to be leaving now. I've got freedom. I'm getting ready to go home. I said, I'd like to pray for you. And one of the other guys from Georgia, he stood up, about my same size. He looks like a big black guy about my size. We were teasing each other all through the whole thing that we were pulling guards for the Green Bay Packers at one, in our past lives, you know. But he said, we were all collectively wanted to ask you to pray for us before you left. And you stood up and said it and said, and he turned on everybody was shaking their head. Please pray for us. So we had a real nice group prayer. And I prayed for the program. I prayed for those guys as they go back. And some of them have gone through some pretty bad times with, you know, with their chronic pain. But the spark of love that was there, the spark that is coming from the top down, from Jesus on through that doctor, on through the other people that he handpicks to work in that program, God has spoken there. And no matter what's going on outside, Jesus is more powerful than any government, than any government agency, or anybody that says you can't talk about Jesus. It wasn't there. It was spoken. It was felt. And I want to thank Shirley and Mark and Linda, not here, for coming to visit me, and Carolyn would come and we'd go and spend some time with the other guys, and they had bingo every night. Now, come on, guys. So bingo to somebody that's dyslexic is a horrible game. You know, if you really think about it, it's numbers and letters, and if you're dyslexic, you know, you end up like, what do they say? What number was that? You get it reversed. It's horrible, right? But the Lord showed me patience. And I was able to, even with Carolyn prodding me, you missed one. Oh, I didn't see it. I looked right at it and didn't see the number. But we had a good time. And at evening at 7 o'clock, we all had to walk to the old part of the hospital and go upstairs to the auditorium. It was part of the recreation. They want us to socialize with other veterans. They want us to get away from the rooms and get out there and meet other guys and so forth. And it was a hoot. It was fun. I'm not hooked on bingo, but it was fun, you know, and the Lord was, I was getting better at reading the numbers and not getting mixed up. Only one time, I think twice Carolyn had to correct me, and I was able to, no, I didn't know I won a bingo, and she, oh, she got a bingo, you got a bingo. I looked at what? I don't see it. But it was something. It was wonderful to be able to spend some time. It's tough, you know, when you know that your home is not that far away. That if you wanted to, and I had prepared an escape plan, my Jeep was right there. My Jeep was right outside in a parked area. I even showed Shirley and Mark and Linda right where I could look out a window in one of those day rooms, and I could still see my Jeep. It was parked right there. If I'm going to get out of here, you know, there's my escape plan right there. It was full of gas, it was ready to roll, you know? And I knew the escape areas I could get out of. There's several ways I could get out of that area. But it was being so close to home, but being so far away. I could have come home on the weekends. I could have come home for a weekend pass, but I chose not to. I chose not to because there were guys that couldn't go home. There were guys there that had to stay. And I wanted to be with them. I just wanted to hang out with them and talk to them and just spend some time with them and spend some time with the Lord. And all in all, it was a very heart-lifting 3 weeks. And I know that the Lord has prepared me. And the reason why He wanted me to go there is because He needs me to be stronger. He needs to be more mobile. He needs me not to be considering or concentrating or letting the chronic pain stop me. He knows that He is higher than that, that if I put my trust in Him, I won't feel that pain. He has something for me to do. While I was in, I didn't know. Was not looking at my emails and so forth. But while I was in there, Melbourne, Florida, where they have the largest Vietnam Veterans Reunion in the country, this is the 29th year of the Veterans Reunion, over 30,000 veterans are there for about a week period. The pastor that's been doing the Sunday services for all these years, for 29 years, is pretty sick. And he's from Arkansas. Well, they were trying to reach me. And finally did. I got the message and I called him back. I said, John Steer is not going to be able to make it. We want you to take over the services. What an incredible opportunity. I love John Steer. We all do. He's an incredible veteran, incredible warrior. And for me to step in, it's like a pastor friend of mine that I talked to over there, he says, Ted, you're now Joshua. You're being asked to step in. Mm-hmm. And I look at this as a verification. The Lord says, yeah, we need you. We need you to stay strong. I talked to a pastor over there that's starting a church services through the VFW. He calls it Vet Church. And he's starting... Today is their first day with the VFW over there in Melbourne. He wants to branch this out and talk. And one of the things that Linda and I had talked about is going to some of the VFWs and American Legions and say, hey, what are you guys doing here on Sundays? Because a lot of things, well, they'll have their football games or whatever, but here's an opportunity. The Lord is making some ways for us. I'm excited. I expect great things from the Lord because of the great things He's done so far in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm leaving myself completely open to what He needs me to do. And that's the thing that's so important. We need to be able to pray that the Lord shows us what He needs us to do. And to be open to it. That's the most important thing to pray for. Lord, I'm here. What do you need? What do you want me to do to show me? Today is Palm Sunday, and as you see by our illustration here, and if you on the, I'm sure this will be on our website too. This was a triumph entry. This was the day that the Lord Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem, and it's an important time was getting just about ready to happen. As you see my title there, in 1 week, the world did change. In the book, Jesus on Trial, we learn a very important detail that we should be speaking of more. Christ is the only one who divided history. He had had to been a supernatural and have a supernatural impact on the world for that to be true. And be distinguishing from all others. It is that once he appeared, Jesus struck history with such an impact, he split it in two, dividing it in two periods. One before he came, before his coming, and the other after it. No one else did this. Even those who deny Jesus Christ is who he said he was are forced to date their attacks upon him A.D. or B.C. That's powerful. On the week before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. For the early followers of Jesus, this was a week that began with tremendous excitement and expectations. They had been followers of Jesus now for approximately 3.5 years. Had witnessed Jesus performing extraordinary miracles, healing the sick, casting out demons, and even silencing the religious leaders of that day with the authority which he answered their questions and challenges. They had come to believe that he was the Messiah that all the prophets of the Old Testament have spoken of. And now that they are ready to crown him as their king and to live and rule with him forever, all of Jerusalem was looking toward this great event with anticipated hope. If you have your Bibles, if you'd like to turn with me to John 12:12, I'm going to be reading from the Bible. This is John 12:12 to 12:50. I'm reading out of the NIV, the NIV version. The title is Jesus Comes to Jerusalem as King. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to him to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, and as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that these things had been done to him. Now that the crowd was with him, when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead and continued to spread the word, many people, because they had heard that he had performed these signs, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Mm-hmm. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. And Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only as a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and wherever I am, my servants also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that was there heard it and said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoke to him. Jesus said, "The voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment of the world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he is going to die. The crowd spoke up, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Then Jesus told them, You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before the darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light so that you may become children of the light. When he finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah, the prophet, "Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason, they cannot believe because Isaiah says elsewhere, "He has blinded their eyes and has hardened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I will heal them." Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about it. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith, for they feared they would be put out of the synagogue. For he loved human praise more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I've come into this world as a light so that no other one who believes in me shall stay in darkness. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. Know that his commandments lead to eternal life. So wherever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." You see, fear brings a snare to man. There are many who have a wonderful glimpse of the truth concerning Jesus and his kingdom, but because of their fear of man, the fear of being rejected by peers and their traditions, they never fully confess what they believe, and the truth never gets fully planted in their hearts. In Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." In John 12:42, Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. I believe that one of the issues Peter faced when denying Christ three times was the fear of man. Mm-hmm. Peter had never really conquered this area in his life, and as a result, in a moment of doubt and uncertainty, he gave in to the fear of man. Mm-hmm. We must be able to boldly confess what we believe. The Apostle Paul said, "I believe, therefore I spoke." We must do also, even in the face of opposition. There is an unwillingness to pay the price. In John 12:42-43, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Many people do not fully hear what God is saying because they are afraid of what it will cost them. Many people, even pastors, remain in bondage to traditions because of fear of losing their reputation and friends when the Holy Spirit reveals further truth concerning Jesus Christ and his kingdom. As a result, the belief system is weakened rather than strengthened. Today, it's important that you understand this. I wanted to make you aware how dangerous and how damaging it is not to strengthen our belief. Christ and his kingdom, while we have the opportunity, we must strengthen our beliefs. It's only as we move forward in him that we grow from faith to even stronger faith. Otherwise, we're allowing these areas to weaken our beliefs and trust in Christ and his kingdom. There is another dark hour that is coming prior to Christ's second coming. Just as the darkness that came over the land during his crucifixion caused many to stumble, the same shall happen in the later days. There is a great falling away coming before Jesus is revealed at his second coming in all his glory. Just as the people succumb to the pressure of the crowd in the days of Jesus to deny him, the same shall happen in the last days, because many Christ followers shall have poorly established belief systems, and many shall fall away. Now is the day to strengthen yourself in Christ. In Hebrews 12, 26 and 28, tells us, whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as the things that are made, and that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let's have the grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. A number of years ago, a guy in North Carolina was walking through a stream near his cabin and found a rock. Thought it was a pretty rock. He picked it up. He brought it into his house and he used it as a doorstop. For many years, he had that rock in his house and had this little cabin. One day, a geologist was going through the area with a group of people that were with him. And they stopped and saw the old man, and the geologist was invited inside. And he immediately recognized that rock as a lump of gold. In fact, it's one of the largest gold nuggets ever found east of the Rockies. Like the man who failed to recognize gold when he had it in his hands, the disciples failed to recognize the true nature of the Lord even after more than 3.5 years. What about you? You know who he is? 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. Once again, that's 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and in mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measures, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each day we have the chance and the opportunity to grow in the Lord. Each day we have the chance and the opportunity to get closer and to understand what He has for us. And each day is a chance for our hearts to grow bigger and for us to understand what love really is and what we need to do to show love in this world. I pray that as you walk out amongst this week coming up and the days before, and as the world recognizes, well, some of the world recognizes Easter and the incredible things that changed in 1 week from our Savior, Jesus Christ, riding on a donkey with thousands of people praising His name and raising those palm fronds up and laying them down and laying clothes and blankets and so forth down for him and that donkey to walk on to in a short time where they said they didn't know him. His closest disciples said he never knew him. Or people spit at him and people yelled and screamed, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And when they did, what happened? The world shook. It got dark. And one Roman soldier simply said, I believe that was the Son of God. Well, he was. He is. He still is. He always has been. And he always will be. Thank you for listening. God bless you. And God bless all of us in this journey to the Father. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful morning. Thank you for the wonderful month that I've had and for the inspiration that you gave me for, and I call it not only inspiration, Lord, but you gave me that wonderful fruit to say, I'm rewarding you. I've got more for you to do. You are a wonderful, loving, and awesome God. And I'm so humbled to be your servant and so thankful and so grateful that you have taken me into your heart. I ask, Lord, that all of us open ourselves up each day and let him hold us and hold our hearts and lead us in the direction he wants us to go in that day. I ask this in Jesus' name, the name above all names.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.